From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he commences a message bearing the title, Confronting Our Jerichos. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 2. But who may abide the day of His coming? His first coming was without external pomp or show of power, and yet in truth there were few who could abide its testing might. Herod and all Jerusalem with him were stirred at the news of the wondrous birth. Those who supposed themselves to be waiting for Him showed the fallacy of their professions by rejecting Him when He came. His life on earth was a winnowing fan which tried the great heap of religious profession, and few enough could abide the process. But what will His second advent be? What sinner can endure to think of it? He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked. When in His humiliation He did but say to the soldiers, I am He, they fell backward. What will be the terror of His enemies when He shall more fully reveal Himself as the I Am? His death shook earth and darkened heaven. What shall be the dreadful splendor of that day in which, as the living Savior, He shall summon the quick and dead before Him? Oh, that the terrors of the Lord would persuade men to forsake their sins and kiss the Son, lest He be angry! Though a lamb, He is yet the Lion of the tribe of Judah, rending the prey in pieces. And though He breaks not the bruised reed, yet will He break His enemies with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. None of His foes shall bear up before the tempest of His wrath, or hide themselves from the sweeping hail of His indignation. But His beloved blood-washed people look for His appearing with joy, and hope to abide it without fear. To them He sits as a refiner even now, and when He has tried them, they shall come forth as gold. Let us search ourselves this morning, and make our calling and election sure, so that the coming of the Lord may cause no dark forebodings in our mind. Oh, for grace to cast away all hypocrisy, and to be found of Him sincere and without rebuke in the day of His appearing.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. As Dr. Cairns will point out, the city of Jericho confronted the children of Israel with many things that illustrate moral and spiritual truths for the people of God in every generation. Israel's battles and victories have their counterparts in the lives of individual Christians, as well as in the life of the church as a whole. In this message, Dr. Cairns will seek to provide biblical answers for God's people facing obstacles. The first thing we'll see is that believers face deeply established strongholds of resistance as individuals. Yet, it is not the will of God that His people live in a constant state of crisis, but rather that they should know the fullness that is in Christ. Now here is Dr. Cairns to commence a message entitled, Confronting Our Jerichos.
Let's turn to the Word of God in Joshua chapter 6. We'll read together the first five verses of the chapter. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear the ark before the ark, 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of these few verses from His Word for His name's sake. Adam Clark, the great Methodist preacher and commentator, wisely remarked that there is hardly a more unfortunate chapter division in the entire Bible than the one between Joshua chapter 5 and Joshua chapter 6. Why anyone would have dreamed of separating the last few verses of Joshua 5 from what we have just read in Joshua 6 is difficult to imagine. Joshua 5, verses 13 through 15, we have the description of the visit of the captain of the Lord's host to Joshua as Joshua was surveying Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6, you have the captain of the Lord's host giving his campaign instructions to Joshua. As it now stands with the chapter division as it is, you would imagine that the captain appeared to Joshua, told him to take the shoe of his foot, and then left him there. Whereas, in effect, verse 1 of chapter 6 is merely parenthetical, drawing attention to the defensive posture of Jericho. And then verse 2 carries on the statement from the last verse of chapter 5, the Lord went on to speak to Joshua, and he told him that he had given Jericho into his hand and told him how to go about reducing the city. Remember the situation. Joshua, as a wise commander, was concerned as to how best to proceed against the very heavily fortified city of Jericho. As he surveyed the city, this stranger, whom he at once challenged and found out to be the captain of the Lord's host, approached him. And as Joshua recognized his divine visitor, he bowed to his command. And that command was certainly a strange one. The plan that the Lord gave to Joshua for the defeat of Jericho was a novel plan indeed. It must have bewildered both the besiegers and the defenders of Jericho. I have no doubt that the children of Israel were expecting an order to attack. I have no doubt they were expecting an order to put all their military formations in place, and they would be given an exact plan of how they were going to bring down the walls. In fact, what they got was a command to have 6 days of silent marching around the walls of Jericho. And then on the 7th day, to increase that marching to 7 laps around the city. Only after which could the 7 priests sound what are here translated as the trumpets of the ram's horn, literally the trumpets of Jubilee. They were to sound those. And then the people were to break their silence and shout with the shout of victory. The Lord promised when all that was done, the walls of Jericho would fall flat so that every soldier of Israel would go straight in before him to the task. And that's just what happened. And the children of Israel surmounted the first major obstacle to their possession of the promised land of Canaan. Now, Jericho is a very interesting city in Scripture. It is not merely a city of history. It's a city with a very, very real and powerful moral and spiritual teaching to it. It's a place that's very real in the experience of every Christian, of every church, and of every movement that would set out to serve the Lord. I realize that the conquests of the Church of Christ are of an entirely different nature from the conquests of the people of Israel in the days of Joshua. Nevertheless, those conquests have very practical insights to impart to us as to how we should take our stand for God and fight the good fight of faith. In other words, Israel's battles and victories have their counterparts in the experience of the Church of Christ and of individual believers. That has been the view of learned commentators down through the years. I was reading a couple of very great Baptist preachers in England in the last century. F.B. Meyer, in reviewing this passage, said, "If Egypt represents our conflict with the world, and Amalek our conflict with the flesh, the seven nations of Canaan represent our conflict with the principalities and powers of wicked spirits who resist our entrance into the heavenlies and our practical realization of what Christ has wrought for us." In a similar vein, Andrew McLaren, another great Baptist preacher of the last century, said that Jericho is a symbol of the evils against which the individual Christian in his own life has to fight. But still more, is Jericho a symbol of the banded and organized enemies arrayed against the church. So when I say that Jericho has its counterpart in the experience of the individual Christian and indeed of the entire church, I am merely reflecting what has been the insight of the people of God into this passage of Scripture down through the centuries. So therefore we may sum up the teaching spiritually of the passage we have just been reading together. I believe it tells us how God's people are to deal with the obstacles to their possession of their inheritance in Christ. That's the main lesson of the passage. Therefore, this morning, I want us very simply to consider the subject of confronting our Jerichos, confronting the strongholds of sin that would hinder our progress in grace. And as I said, there are some very simple but very, very pertinent lessons that we should learn from this passage of Scripture. First of all, we learn that God's people face deeply established strongholds of resistance to their spiritual progress and service. We face deeply established strongholds of resistance to our progress with Christ. Now, every Christian quickly realizes this in his personal life. You're not long saved until you face your Jericho. You're not long on the way into your enjoyment of what Christ has for you before you run into this deep and well-established resistance. We know that the Lord has given us a great salvation. Paul put it well in Ephesians 1:3, that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have a great array of blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 gives us a detailed list of the fullness of the blessing that there is for every Christian in Christ. Let me stop there for a moment. Most Christians are staggering from crisis to crisis. Most Christians are living their lives on a very low spiritual plane. Most Christians are not living the life of spiritual fullness. There is little of the exuberance of grace. There is little of the overflowing experience of which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. It appears that God's people in these days are just out of step with Christ and more in step with the world, so that they are not enjoying the fullness that is rightfully theirs in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's understand this. That is not the will of God for any Christian. The Christian's pathway may be beset with many problems. He may have great physical afflictions. He may have great business trials or great family troubles. But in the midst of all the things that beset us as children of men, we are not exempt from those troubles. We have a great Savior. We have a great salvation. We have grace that abounds and superabounds. There is the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ freely available to every Christian. It is the will of God, as Paul taught us in Ephesians 3, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. As he said to the Colossians in chapter 2, you are complete in Christ. You are filled to the full in Christ. That is the will of God for the Christian, and nothing less. Now that is our birthright. But we're not long saved before we recognize that there lies right within our own breast a deeply rooted resistance to spiritual living. The greatest problems to our progress in grace are not outside of us, they are inside of us. They are not the world and the devil, or they will oppose us, but first and foremost, there is our own flesh. There is a Jericho in every bosom that would stand in the way of spiritual progress and spiritual living. There is an innate resistance to grace and to godliness. The Apostle Paul spoke of this in Romans chapter 7, in verse 18 and 19, and then in verse 21 to 23, he speaks of this resistance. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. To desire to grow spiritually is present in every Christian. If there's no desire in you to grow spiritually, you are not a Christian. Now that's an emphatic statement, but it's simply the statement of the Word of God. The desire for Christ, the desire to overcome sin, the desire for true holiness is the hallmark of a truly saved person. But how to fulfill that desire, how to perform that which our heart yearns for, is not so obvious. Paul says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. There is the conflict that every Christian feels. How often we have been in this position. We desire to do good, but we end up not doing it. We desire to escape from doing evil, but all too often we end up doing it. There is this constant conflict with the flesh.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.